Welcome to The Disappearing Mind, a unique podcast helping you find clarity and support along your dementia journey. Now, join National Dementia Trainer and Coach, Dawn Platt, for an all-new episode.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. My name is Dawn Platt. I am your host. Today on the podcast, we're going to discuss another topic in and around the dementia journey, a topic that comes up frequently, comes up often, and you've probably, as a caregiver, asked yourself this at one time during your dementia caregiving journey, and that is it safe to leave my loved one with dementia home alone? Wow, what a question. I asked that multiple times with my own mother, who I oversaw her care and who seemed to ebb and flow in her ability to be independent, her ability to process, and her whole dementia journey. There were times when I felt like she was safe and then other times when I didn't. So even as we get into this today and unpack it, there are going to be times that you are going to be able to make the best decision that you can make as a caregiver and for your family. There are going to be times when you're not going to feel comfortable and then other times when you are. We have errands to run. We go to the store, maybe we run to the doctor, maybe there are lots of things that we do in our day-to-day life, but is it safe to leave your loved one alone? In another podcast, I talked about when to make the decision to move them out of their home, whether that is in with you or in another location or even into an assisted living or memory care community. Each of these steps are individualized. Our goal is to give you tips, is to talk about different scenarios, to give you resources. Today, is it safe to leave your loved one at home? Well, there are a variety of answers that we're going to talk about, and the decision is really yours, and we want to help you make good decisions. But welcome to today's episode, another episode that is really geared to the caregiver, those of us who spend our life or are passionate about caregiving for people who have dementia, whether it's a relative or whether you do it professionally. I think that this is something that we can talk about, we can dialogue about so that we make better decisions when it comes to caring for someone who has dementia. We're tackling a difficult and really sometimes an emotional topic that caregivers face. I told you, I have faced this before. I went through this. So deciding whether or not it's safe to leave a loved one or someone you care for in the earliest stages of dementia home alone. If you're a caregiver, if that's you, this is likely to be one of the most challenging decisions you make outside of when to take their driver's license or when to take their car. That's a whole nother podcast. It's a whole nother thing that we're going to address on the podcast. In this case, you may want to respect your loved one's independence, but you also worry about their safety. Safety is number one. You always want to defer to safety. It's something that is paramount when it comes to caregiving and someone with dementia. Not everything is apparent. Not everything is black and white when it comes to decisions in and around dementia. So this is where the dilemma comes in for most families, for most spouses, for most caregivers. But today, I want to guide you through key questions and practical strategies to help you make an informed and thoughtful decision. Remember, the decision that you make is your own. Do what's best for you and your own. You might make a mistake. I mean, that's not off the table. That could happen. But you want to make the best decisions that you can make based on what you know and your own personal knowledge. Let's talk about this tough and even emotional dilemma. When is this going to happen? So let's start with a reality check. This decision is deeply personal. You, the caregiver, are likely to feel that your loved one needs constant supervision. Well, your loved one, who was once fiercely independent, may insist they're perfectly fine on their own. My mother literally insisted that she did not need help up until the month that she passed away. So we're talking 7 years into the disease process. My mother would tell you, would tell the doctor, would tell anyone who would listen that she was independent, that she did not require care, that she took care of herself. It was just her perception, and often a very common perception of those that you care for. They really do not realize the level of assistance that you may be providing them. It's not necessarily important that they totally understand that, but it is a decision that you're going to need to make based on how safe they are to be alone. This disagreement between the person and the caregiver is common. It can be emotionally draining. They might argue with you over this point, but you're balancing safety concerns with respect for their autonomy. Those are a couple of areas that you need to be aware of. It's okay to feel conflicted. You're going to feel conflicted. I mean, after all, I didn't want to tell my mother what to do every day, but I had to come to that point. I had to do that to keep her safe, because in her mind, she was safe, even though she fell multiple times, even though she had tendency to wander on a few occasions throughout the course of her disease. It wasn't always that way. Given free rein, it probably would have been more frequent. It's okay to feel conflicted about the situation, but to ease the burden, reach out for support. Ask other family members, ask others who are caregivers. Talk to your doctor, the healthcare professionals around you, the social worker, the home health nurse, even fellow caregivers for advice. This is really important to talk about the situation, to help have someone else analyze that situation, especially your physician. Their insights to provide a clear picture of whether your loved one can be left safely at home. Let me unpack that a little bit more. One of the things for your physician is they can do a cognitive evaluation, a MoCA test, a SLUMS test, and really be able to tell you what your loved one's processing judgment ability really is based on cognitive score. So that's going to be really important. Judging somebody's ability to make decisions isn't always something that the average person can view with the eye. It's not always something you can look and say, yes, they can or cannot. So that is really more of a professional call based on testing and that sort of thing. Your physician can help you with that. But let's talk about a few questions to consider before leaving them alone. This can ebb and flow. I've said that at the beginning of the podcast. This is not carved in stone, but here's some critical questions to reflect on as you assess your loved one and their ability to stay home without supervision. Obviously, you're going to look at the timelines and where you're going, how long you're going to be gone, and those kind of things. But can they recognize and respond to emergencies? That's number one. Would they be able to dial 911 or call a neighbor if something went wrong? Would they do that? If a smoke alarm went off, would they recognize it as a warning sign and know what to do? Can they distinguish friends and family from strangers? If someone knocks on the door, will they open it for anyone? Or can they safely identify who's outside? Same thing with phone and scammers. Do they pick up the phone and talk to everybody? Do they believe everybody who calls on their phone? Seniors are often targeted in this way, both online, by telephone, and even door to door. Can they distinguish friends and family from strangers? That's going to be really, really important. Are they able to prepare and eat meals on their own? Consider the ability to use appliances. Are the appliances operational or not? Would they forget the stove is on or misuse kitchen tools, putting themselves at risk, like the microwave? How good are they at preparing food or getting food out that you've left for them? Are they fully capable of using the bathroom independently? If they need help with basic function, such as walking or grooming or toileting, this person is not safe to be left alone. What is their emotional state when you leave? What are they like when you come back? Do they seem calm, or do they seem frightened or anxious or angry? Do they have a story to tell you? How do they behave when you return? That's going to be a key to how well they've done when you were gone. Can they safely exit the home in case of danger? We talked about that. But would they be able to find their way to safety outside the home if there was an emergency or a fire? And where would they go? Do they have a safety backup plan? Would they go to the neighbor? What would they do? Are they prone to wandering? Wandering is one of the most serious dangers. I just talked about that on another podcast for people with dementia. If they have a tendency to get lost easy or forget where they are at risk. They are probably not safe to leave alone. Do they experience frequent health issues or require constant monitoring? Do they have a condition like frequent falls or breathing difficulties that make it dangerous for them to be alone? This person would not be a good choice. Do they feel isolated or abandoned when you're gone? Loneliness can play a significant role in emotional stress for dementia. They may feel deserted. They may tend to wander to look for you. These are things you want to consider. And are they ever destructive or physically harmful to themselves or anything in your home? Stress and confusion would be another factor. This person would not be appropriate or safe to leave at home. Has there been any indication? And let me give you a story here, actually a couple stories. I've gone through this multiple times during my dementia coaching career with families, and there have been some mixed opinions from families. So let me tell you about two daughters that I assisted with their lovely mother, who is now gone. One daughter lived locally, and she was visiting her mother every day and really saw a decline in her mother and was a little bit worried about her mother. She's a little closer to it, so she could see the changes a little bit more often. The other daughter lived up north and came down periodically and all came down for every holiday. And she really didn't see all of the changes her mother was experiencing. She was a little resistant to put things in place because she couldn't see it. She didn't understand it. We decided that to put a granny cam in mom's house. And sure enough, in the granny cam, they had hired an individual to come in the morning, get her up, get her going, get her breakfast, to come back at lunch, and then come back at dinner. What we discovered is once the hired person had come in, got her up, got her dressed, she functioned very well, got breakfast, sat her in her chair, she absolutely did not move from that chair until she came back again at lunchtime. She actually wasn't functioning. She was shutting down. She was doing nothing. She was experiencing great anxiety and confusion, being left alone. And that was not visible because the minute that she saw someone, she was reactive. She was engaged. She was lovely. We never would have seen that, nor could we have addressed it had we not had a granny cam or a monitor. Good tip. You may want to try that to see what's actually going on with your loved one when no one is there. Let's just talk a little bit about these questions. And you may feel uncertain or uncomfortable about the questions that I pose to you, but it may be time to consider some alternatives. You don't want to go it alone, but consider asking a trusted family member, friend, or hiring someone such as a home health care aide to stay with your loved one while you're out, to come in a few hours for companionship, to make a difference in their safety and emotional well-being. This is for a person that you haven't determined whether or not that they're safe to stay alone. It's something to try. On the other hand, if your answers give you a sense of confidence that they don't experience any of these things, your loved one may actually be capable of being alone for short periods of time. And that's where a camera or monitor with voice could allow you to see them, to see what's actually happening when there's no one there. This would give you a lot of peace of mind and help you make decisions. It is critical, though, to regularly reassess this situation. Because dementia is a progressive decision, their abilities can and will change over time. So you don't want to just answer it once. It's something you constantly want to monitor and only put things in place when you need to. So let's talk about tips to increase safety when leaving them alone. How can you prepare How do you know things are safe? So if you decide to leave them alone, that they're safe, actually, they've been adults, they've lived safely, and they've lived at home up until this point, there are some things that you can add in to maximize their safety. First, you want to make sure you have installed safety devices in the home, smoke detectors, stove shutoff devices, anything like that to reduce fire hazards. Use door alarms and motion sensors on the doors and alarms. Set up a phone system with large buttons and pre-programmed numbers so it will help them in calling for help. You can program 911, neighbors, or your own phone number in their phone. Remove any potentially dangerous items like sharp objects, medications, toxic substances, all of that kind of thing. And post reminders and simple instructions. You can use notes or pictures, even a note on the door. Do not open the door to strangers near the front door. Just little cues and reminders to them to help prompt them. Arrange for regular check-ins. If you're going to be out for the day, call or video chat to monitor how things are going while you're away. There are a number of things that you can do to really assess whether or not this person is safe to live alone. I think that this decision at some point, or making this decision, can be a little emotionally exhausting. When you do have to make it, and you do make it, it's normal to feel guilt. I did. Or worry or sadness. But remember, your primary goal is to keep your loved ones safe. Safety must always take priority over independence when dementia is involved. There is no perfect solution. No two situations are the same. Some people go a very long time and not need that supervision or support that others may need quicker, depending on the environment, depending on what stage that they're at in the dementia journey. I think that balancing independence and safety is a delicate dance that we as caregivers have to make when caring for someone with dementia. Reflect on these questions, go over it again. There are other questions to talk about. Talk with your physician, talk with your family, get involved in an online support group or a local support group. Listen to different podcasts, topics to get more information to help you be educated and informed on making these decisions. Thank you for joining me for this important conversation. We want to keep it real here at the podcast. We want to make sure that you benefit from the things that we talk about here on the podcast. Stay safe, stay strong, and I will see you next time. Until next time, make it a memorable day.
Thank you for joining us for the Disappearing Mind podcast. We hope it's helped you find clarity and support along your journey. Be sure to subscribe to never miss an episode. Visit our website to suggest future topics, and share the podcast with friends and family.